Thank you. Terry, would it be hard to put up the collect again? Let's pray this again. It's just so relevant to the message. O Lord God, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Excuse me, I dropped something. Three thousand years ago, King David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The more research we do about the human body, the more we realize how wondrous we are, how wondrously our bodies are made, especially the human brain. Do you know in the first 3 years of life, the human brain will triple in size? The first year of life, it will triple in size. It reaches maturity about the age of 25. The adult brain weighs about 3 pounds. 75% of it's made up of water. That means if we get dehydrated, even at a 2% level, it can have a negative effect on our brain functions. Exercise is just as good for your brain as it is for your body. Aerobic exercise raises your heart rate and increases blood flow to our brain. The human brain contains 100 billion, not million, 100 billion brain cells, with each cell having about 7,000 connectors, which send between 10 and 100 signals out every second. Our brain is the ultimate processing machine. To put this in perspective, a single human brain has more information processing units than all the computers, routers, and internet connections on Earth. On Earth. How many computers are there? Isaac Asimov, excuse me, was once a professor of biochemistry at Boston University, states that the 3-pound brain, which as far as we know, is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. Now, the brain being so efficient and effective, it's amazing. How can anybody believe it just happened by accident, that all these things just came together by accident over time? We believe in an omnipotent and all-wise creator. And do you know God calls us to love him with our brain? To love him with our brain, mind. All right, you want to put up the first slide there? Okay, that's the focus for today, but we're going to go to this slide. The Shema, which Jewish people say every day, a number of times in the same day. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus refers to this same passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, three times, and every time he refers to it, he puts in all your mind. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I don't think God was adding anything. I don't think Jesus was intending to add anything. But I think understanding that culture, and maybe how people in our culture too can put too much dependence on their mind, he wanted to emphasize that we're to love God with everything we have and with all our mind. And how do you love God more? The more you know God, the more I've gotten to know Wendy, the more I love her. The more you know God, the more you love God. Not just information about God, but the more you know him with your mind. So the more I know God, not just information about God, the more I'll know God, the more I will love him. Now, the National Science Foundation published an article regarding research about the human thoughts per day. The average person has between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts per day. And about 80% of them, 80% are negative. 80% are negative. Negative thinking, or what rehab folks call stinking thinking, can lead to decreased cognitive function and suppression of your immune system and a host of unhealthy emotional and spiritual consequences. Are we too passive about what we allow in our minds? Are we too passive about what we allow in our minds? Somebody knocks at your front door, what do? You look out and you check who it is, right? And depending on who it is, you invite them in, right? I have little control over who knocks on my door. I have ultimate control over who I invite in. Lots of thoughts come and we have an open door. There's no discernment about what we invite in, who we invite in, into our minds. So the world, the flesh, and the enemy knock on our door, and sometimes there's not even a door there, it's just an open door, and negative thoughts come from the world, the flesh, and the enemy. And Jesus called Satan the father of lies. There's no truth in him. So if you're hearing a lie in your mind about yourself or God, where's it coming from? From the father of lies. And so we have the power and to affect what's in our minds. We have the power to control what's in our minds. Now, sometimes that's a challenge, but God has given us. He tells us to take every thought captive. What kind of thoughts do I let into my mind? And God gave us some wisdom about filters that he has given us concerning our thought life. And it's going to come from Philippians. But a little context of Philippians. All right, thank you, Tim. A little context of Philippians. Did Paul write Philippians when he was in a university library? Where was Paul when he wrote Philippians? He's in prison. He was probably handcuffed to a Roman soldier. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did he have any privacy? Go to the bathroom, sleep at night? And so Paul has been through some very hard things, whippings, beatings, shipwrecks, we don't know all the things. And he said, I've learned to be content in hard times, in good times, in prosperous times, but in lean times, in painful times, I've learned to be content. He trusts the sovereignty of God, that God's in control in hard times and wonderful times. And so how did he learn that? Now, we can make a mistake. We can make Paul the hero. I try in my sermon never to make Paul or a person the hero. Who's always the hero? God. So it's what God did in Paul, what God can do in us. That's the hero here. How God can help somebody, even in the most difficult circumstances, to help them. So here's a guy. Whoop. All right. Okay. I don't think this is the right slideshow. Okay. Whoop. Okay. There's a slide missing, but it's all right. I will we'll get to this. I'm going to wait. Sorry.
Technology,
thank you. All right. Paul says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Where's Paul writing this from? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. He says, whenever you become anxious, what should you do? Rejoice. And then he says, if you become anxious, pray. 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 So he says, use your anxiety to remind you to pray. Pray and make petitions to the Lord with what? With thanksgiving. So is it important when we're praying to thank God for what he's already done? For what he's doing? So we thank God for what he's done, what he's doing, and we trust him. So we, in all things, we pray and we give thanks to God. So that's part of this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Somebody that's been in a very, he's in a hard situation. He's handcuffed to this Roman guard. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what's the result? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Okay, so now we look at the filters. God has given us some filters. And the first filter is truth. Lord God of truth. All truth is God's truth. Okay, finally, brothers, whatever is true. What's number one on the list? Do you remember when Pastor Niall talked last Sunday? What was the first piece of equipment that you are told to put on? The belt of truth. He said that's everything kind of is based on that foundation, the belt of truth. So when something, this is one of the filters we use when some thought's knocking on the door, is it true? Is it true? And that's in a very large sense of the whole word, in every sense of the word, truth. What has our culture done with truth today? It's really destroyed any sense of truth. I found this illustration that I found helpful. It's about three baseball umpires. And they were talking about how they call balls and strikes. And the first umpire said, there's balls and there's strikes, and I call them the way they are. The second one said, no, the second umpire said, that's arrogant. There's balls and there's strikes, and I call them the way I see them. Then the third one said, that's no better, said the third umpire. Why beat around the bush? Why not be realistic about what we do? There's balls and there's strikes, and they ain't nothing till I call them. So the first one is, truth is objective. The second one is, I determine what truth is. The third one is, you can create your own truth. Amen. Whatever works for you, I mean, you just create your own truth. That's the postmodern position. Truth is not to be discovered, it's for each of us to create for ourselves. We get to create our own truth. There's no such thing as objective truth. I get to have my truth, you get to have your truth, because there's no real truth. God said, I'm the great I am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I want to go back. What's God's title there? Lord God of all truth is? If we don't have the truth, we have nothing. Without truth, life is meaningless. If we don't have the truth, then we don't have anything to give to anybody. We have the truth. Jesus is the truth. He as a person is the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is truth without grace? It's judgment, right? What is grace without truth? I like to call it sloppy agape. You know, you can just do whatever you want. And so they need to come together. When grace and truth, when we walk both in grace and truth, we get healing. We grow as believers to be in that grace and truth, which is what Jesus brought. And so the first kind of filter is, what is true? What is true? The second filter, what is honorable? Now, there's something about needles and veins that get me queasy. And so I think it's honorable for all the people that gave blood. I actually tried to give blood They refused me. I easily accepted the refusal. But so everybody that gave blood that has one of those t-shirts on, I asked Marcia if she could save this for me to stand. Would you just stand now? Because I just think it's honorable for these people that gave blood. Amen. Amen. Appreciate Tim's word about the one, the great blood giver in Jesus. And so, you know, when I was going through this list, I was trying to find things that I could connect with on this list. And from the beginning of the list till I got to the end, I noticed at the end I had a smile on my face. Because I was thinking about things that were honorable and good and true and worthy of praise. And that's what God wants us to fill our mind with. So one of the things I did this last month is I took Tom, Deacon Tom, our 92-year-old deacon, out with my father-in-law, who's 91. And I knew their best stories. And I had them telling their best stories to each other. It was a great lunch. But one of Tom's best stories is that when Tom was a Methodist pastor, he, on his way to church, there was a woman that I think had a flat tire, so he stopped, of course, and helped her. And he helped her, but the result was he was late for church. So as the pastor, he's walking in late for church, and one of the leaders in the church came up to him and, "Why are you late? What's wrong? You're the pastor. You should be on time." And then this woman comes into the church that he helped, and it's this man's mother. Now, is that just? Yeah. Is that a good thing to think about? Is that just? So, honorable. Arthur going into prisons. Pure. I think of my younger grandchildren, how their faces light up. You know, watching Hayes, he's got this little determined walk when he's excited about something. Maeve, who's 10 months old, smiles when she recognizes you. You know, that's pure. Lovely. And I never really noticed it. What's the basic word in lovely? Love. And I think of creation. There's lovely things in God's creation, but lovely. That lunch that we had with Tom and Wendy's father, I asked the lady, the waitress, I said, "Is there any way we can pray for you?" She sat down, grabbed my father-in-law's hand, and started to share how hard life was for her, what she was going through, and that she hadn't had enough food to eat. And so we prayed for her and gave her money. That was lovely. You know, when you think about things that are lovely and true, commendable. Terry walked into the men's group yesterday morning. He watched a movie called The Forge, decided to give up his golf game so that he could come to the men's group because of this. I think that's commendable. I know he enjoys, like I enjoy racquetball, he enjoys golf, but he just felt God wanted him to do that. That's commendable. Excellent. I think about Vivian and her ability to read the scriptures. Just excellent. Worthy of praise. I think of the ladies that, and Jim Brown, Pastor Jim Brown, tells me how important it is for Sandra to be hugged by the ladies when they walk into the church. And I wasn't going to mention their names, but Viola said that I had to. So, you know their names. They're all in the back row right there. Worthy of praise. He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Now, sometimes, so we'll just go with this, Mike. Sometimes I've been trying to put this into practice, and sometimes it's hard because you just got a lot going on in your mind. And I think the Lord understands that. But we sang in this song, "Speak Jesus over every heart and mind." Did we sing that today? Speak Jesus. Can we do that today? That's what I sense how I should end my sermon today. That we should speak Jesus over every heart and mind. Is there power in the name of Jesus? So if you're having some struggle with your thoughts, and you need to close that door, call on the name of Jesus. I just read an incredible testimony about somebody who was doing seances and really into all this evil new age stuff, and she got into a hard place. She doesn't even know why she did it, but she called out the name of Jesus. She said her life began to change when she first called out the name of Jesus. Is there power in the name of Jesus? Can we teach our children, if they're scared of the dark, to call on the name of Jesus, to speak the name of Jesus? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask our worship team's going to come up here, our media folks, if they can come up here, and because I want everybody, we pray over every heart and every mind, speak Jesus. So I want my vestry to come up here, and I want our prayer team. So come on, if you're in that list, I want you all to come up here and line up here like you're down at the police station. Just line up here. And you see the prayer there? Can we say that prayer? I speak over this woman or man, mind that she or he would take every thought captive and love God with all their mind. Okay, so what we're going to do, Pastor Niall and I are going to go down and pray this prayer over each of you, and then you're to go out and pray this prayer over everybody. The worship team is going to sing that song again for us. And is that clear to everybody? Okay, so we want everybody, if you don't want prayer, then just let people know, ask permission, if you can put your hand on their head. And if they have a fancy hairdo like I do, they may not want you to put their hand on their head, but... All right.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Oh, your name is power. Your name is. Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul that's captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Strong.